Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. And solo tonight, Sheila G, my co-host, and her husband, Dr. G, are in Pennsylvania getting a little R&R. So we say you guys go ahead and rest and enjoy yourself, but we're still carrying on the Bloodstained banner tonight. With our Bible study, and we're just grateful to God to be able to come together and study the Word of God again. And we're just going to open up with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask that we all pray together. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you again, God, for another privilege, another opportunity to come together. And Father, we pray that you would allow us to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. God, we just thank you and pray that you would allow us to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and that this would be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And tonight we are looking at the book of Romans. We talked last week about the fifth chapter of the book of Romans and how, you know, over the last couple of months, we were trying to just put together a line of understanding for people to understand, you know, what was the fall of man and what was his way out and how God wanted to bring him back into the proper relationship with him, which was a righteous relationship with him. And so in order to have a righteous relationship with him, he had to put a plan into action to redeem him from his fallen state and becoming unrighteous. And we looked at how Satan would manipulate us to keep us from realizing that God loved us and God wants the best for us. And so he would try to manipulate us to the point where we would believe a lie instead of believing the truth of God. And that's what happened with Adam and Eve. And so in chapter 5 of the book of Romans, God said one man got you into it was Adam, and that one man can get you out of it, which was Jesus Christ. And, you know, that way that there's no gray area, this is God's plan of salvation. And if we go to the book of Romans, the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, and we look down at verse chapter 10, we're going to go from verse 1. It says, brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And so this is Paul writing that he wants everyone in God's family to be saved. And so, you know, God has given the means and he's given the way that we can get back into the proper relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. And so here in Romans, it gives us the formula, if you will, of how to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so in chapter 10 of Romans, verse 1, when he says, "My prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." In verse 2, it says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And see, this is how we get back into the right relationship with God, is when we learn to surrender our will over to God's will. When we learn to put our desires and our will to become secondary. And so in verse 4, it says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." In other words, Christ came and did away with the requirement that we had to live up to the law to get back into the right relationship with God. As we saw that in Romans, the 5th chapter, God's grace came in and superseded the law to the point where Christ fulfilled the law. And because he fulfilled it, if we, through faith, believe in him, what happens is we can take on his righteousness. And that's the only way we're going to get back into the proper relationship with God, is through the righteousness of his son. And so in order for us to receive this, if we read down to Romans 10, verse 5, it says, "For Moses described the righteousness which was of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." In other words, you had to live according to the law, and you always came up short. There was no way you could ever, you know, fulfill the law in our fallen state. And so what we have to do is we have to learn to rely on the righteousness of God, who is Jesus Christ, who by grace will give us the ability to get back into the right relationship with God. And so in verse 6 it says, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who ascended into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead." In other words, they didn't understand what Christ do to win our salvation once and for all. He had to suffer the death of an unsaved person. He had to have a death, a burial, and a resurrection in order for us to be able to partake of his righteousness, which is given by faith. So let's look at verse 8, Romans 10, verse 8. It says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth that in thy and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." In other words, here it is. What was lost in the Garden of Eden, which was lost, our righteousness with God, God's plan through, you know, many symbols, through many temporary slaying of animals and goats and lambs, blood sacrifices, week after week, day after day, now once and for all is being taken care of, or has been taken care of, through God's Lamb, the Lamb of God. And now he becomes our vehicle back into the right relationship with God. And so if we look at Romans 9, again, this is the formula that tells us once and for all, how do we get back there? And we saw in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis how we fail, and what God was doing, you know, all those generations to get us back to the place where, all right, Christ is now fulfilled the law. He has paid the penalty for sin. And now, because of that, he can extend to us grace by faith. And so here is the great dilemma that all of those who are not going to make it to heaven, is that they're going to reject God's plan of salvation. We looked at it in Romans. One got into us, Romans 5. One got us into trouble, Adam. One get us out of it, Jesus Christ. You say, well, how do I get you out? How do I get out, preacher? How do I get out? How do I get out of this trouble? How do I get out of this struggle? How do I get out of this? And the only way that we can get out of it is through God's plan. And here in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, God tells us how we play the role by exercising our faith by doing these things that we see in Romans 10, 9, 10. Jesus paid the price. He's given us his hand of grace in order for we can get back into the right relationship with God. God has, through his grace and his mercy, given us the opportunity, but he can't force it on us. This is something that we have to be willing to do his way and do it because we want to do it, not because he forces us to do it. And so if we look at Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And here it is. This is the way that we get back into the right relationship, is that we have to confess with our mouth that we believe that Jesus died for the sins of the world. And not only for the sins of the world, but for your sins and my sins. And then to make it even personal, to die for my sin. So how am I going to get back into the original state, the original spiritual relationship that I had with God? The right relationship that I had with God. God sent his plan down through 42 generations, and he fulfilled it through Son Jesus Christ. He accepted his sacrifice on the cross. He was buried. He was resurrected. And so now what we have to do in order for us to be returned back into the right relationship that was in the Garden of Eden, we have to... Romans 9, confess with our mouth. We have to say it out of our mouth. We have to say it. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe that he died for our sins. And it says you have to believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And so this is where the faith comes in, is that I have enough faith to confess that I believe that Jesus died for my sin, and I have to believe it in my heart that God raised him from the dead. That not only that he died, but also that he was resurrected. And so when I believe that, when I confess that with my mouth and believe that in my heart, then God sees that we're accepting his plan of salvation to restore us back into the proper relationship with him. And then he continues in verse 10 and he explains it. He says, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, getting back into that proper right relationship with Jesus. Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. In other words, through what we confess and what we believe is how we get back into that right relationship. But we're not just confessing and believing on anything, but we're confessing and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you confess and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens is then you begin to, by faith, start causing the salvation of God to fall into your life, to be a part of your life, because you believe God's plan. And this is how we get back into that relationship that was lost by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And it took all of that time, and it took all of those, you know, sacrifices, and it took all of those generations for God to get to the point where now you can be saved by grace through faith and you know, not of works, not of the law, but it's a saving grace that we have by and this is an awesome thing, that it's not something that you know, you have to do any backflips, cartwheels, somersaults, slide around, run around, but you simply just have to believe and by faith accept God's plan of salvation. And that's an awesome thing to know, that God has laid it out. And not only did he lay it out, but he fulfilled it through his son, and that his son paid the price, paid something that we couldn't pay, gave us something that we no way deserved, and didn't give us what we deserved. And that was his mercy. That was his grace and his mercy. And so, you know, that kind of brings us from Adam and Eve, the fall, how we lost our righteousness. And then it lets us know how we get it back. But we want to continue on tonight to let us know that once we have been given or placed back in the right relationship with God, there should be a change in our lives. Uh-oh. And when you really understand what God is saying is that now that you've received my salvation, what happens is God says that I have come into your life, and now I'm on board with you, and now I am the word that's alive in you. And what he wants us to do is he wants us to become the word alive. In other words, he wants us to become Christ-like. In other words, he comes through us through the power of his Holy Spirit. Once we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and the presence and the power of Christ is in our life to be able to make a difference in our life. In other words, to give us a newness of life, to give us a new way of thinking, a new way of talking, to renew our mind. And so what happens is there's what's called a sanctification process. And through this sanctification process, what happens is we begin to start getting transformed into the image of God. In other words, once we, again, with Romans 10:9-10, once we believe, once we confess with our, once we believed in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, he said, ye shall be saved. Let me get it right. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so now we're saved. Now we're back in the right relationship with God. But God says, now there should be something different about you. Now you should look different. Now you should talk different. Now you should think different. Because not, like in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit wasn't in you, now the Holy Spirit in the presence of God is in us. And so now we should begin to start having a newness of life, a new walk, a new talk. We should be start becoming transformed to that image of God that we had and that we lost in the beginning. Yes, we're saved, but we have to go through the process of acting like we're saved. See, the problem is too many times in Christianity, you have saved folk that aren't living saved. And in other words, we're saved, but we're not living anything. And that's the key that we talked about a couple of weeks ago when in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, where it talked about, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We talked about the first teach about getting saved. And then the second teach was to teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you till the end of the world. Amen. And so the sanctification process, once we're saved, is the process that many of us don't like to go through because it causes us to have to deal with ourselves, amen, on a daily basis. Uh-oh. In other words, in dealing with ourselves on a daily basis, what happens is we have to confront the things that are not lovely, that are not of God. And the Holy Spirit, through the sanctification process, begins to convict us of the things that are not pleasing to God and begins to start showing us how to leave those things alone by putting on the things of God. And in that process, that sanctification process, many times is a process that a lot of folks don't like. And it's like in order for us to get to come out like pure gold, in order for us to be transformed into the image of God, he's got to deal with those impurities that we still have in our lives. In other words, our lives have been filled with unrighteousness for so long that when the righteousness of God comes in, he has to deal with us. And that's why it's important for us to constantly go to him in prayer, constantly stay in his word, constantly be in the fellowship of the saints so that we can learn how to be transformed into his image. Because now that we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, now the Spirit of God is on the inside. He wants us to act like Jesus. So let's go to chapter six of Romans, and we want to talk about what happened. We talked about earlier how in Romans 5, Jesus was the way that Adam, the second Adam, messed up. And the first Adam messed up, and Jesus, who was the second Adam, got us out of it. This is God's plan that we would believe on Jesus by faith through grace, grace through faith. And then we believed it in our heart, confessed it with our mouth, And so now we want to see what happens after we've gone through all that. Okay, we found out that Jesus is the way. All right, we believe, we confess with our mouth, we believe in our heart. All right, now you said I'm saved. Now what do I do? And it's the thing where you have to understand what's going on in you. And I think a lot of times Christians don't understand what has happened now that I've confessed it with my mouth, now that I believed it in my heart. What has happened? I'm saved, but I know there's some things that have to go on in my life in order for me to have a new life in Christ. So if we go to Romans, the 6th chapter, it'll tell you what happened to you or what happened to us. So we go to Romans 6 chapter verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? And here again is what Paul is telling us. Yes, you've been saved by grace through faith. But now you need to understand that you can't just keep sinning and messing up because you know grace is going to cover it. And a lot of times people say, well, God's grace got it. God's got it. God's got my heart. And, you know, every time I mess up, I can say, God's got it. God's grace got it. God knows my heart. But Paul says that's not how we should be acting. What he's saying is that understanding the cost of the grace, in other words, in order for us to get grace, Jesus had to die in order to give us grace. We need to understand, you know, what this grace cost Jesus, what it cost him. And so because it cost him so much, what we need to do is like what Paul says in chapter 6 of Romans verse 1, is that we should not continue in sin. In other words, when we got saved, there should be some things that are different now when we got saved. There's some things that we shouldn't be doing that now that we're saved that we shouldn't have done. You know, if we've been saved 5 years, 5 years ago, things that we were doing, we still shouldn't be doing those things, is what the word is saying. God's grace is sufficient to cover them, but we shouldn't be taking the liberty of continuing in sin. And I think people take that liberty because they don't understand what is going on and what's happening on the inside of them spiritually. Let's go to Romans 6, verse 2. And in Romans 6, verse 2, it says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, what he's saying is, once we receive Christ as our Savior and the Holy Spirit comes aboard, what happens is we become dead to sin. In other words, sin doesn't have the effect that it used to have on us, where we didn't have any control and we just did what it said, told us to do. Now we have the Spirit of God on board and we can make the decision to follow him and not follow after the flesh. In other words, we're considered dead to sin. In other words, sin doesn't have that dominion. It doesn't have that stranglehold on us. It's no longer the dominant feature in our lives. And so he says, you know, we shouldn't continue to sin. We shouldn't continue to choose to disobey God because we're saved. We should act like we understand that God is on board with us all the time now. And that's what I want to really get across to us tonight, is that once we confess with our mouth, once we believe in our heart, the Holy Spirit takes a residence in us, and we have the power and the ability to resist the devil and not sin. Whereas before, we didn't have that power and the ability to do it. We just did what we wanted to do. But I want us to understand that the presence of God is in us right now, which is an awesome thing, because it wasn't like that in the Old Testament. It wasn't like that in the times of Moses. And so we who are under the new covenant that was purchased and ushered in by Jesus' blood, the Holy Spirit comes in us and is in us. And so now what we have to understand is that everywhere we go, we have the God in us. In other words, we begin to start getting transformed into the body of Christ. We begin to start looking more and more like him. And so there should be a difference. But I think mentally and spiritually, we have to recognize that at all times now, we carry the Holy Spirit with us. And if we recognize that at all times now, we carry the Holy Spirit with us, I think some of the temptations that we fall to, we wouldn't fall to as readily, because we have the understanding that when we fall, we're in front of Jesus. Think about that for a second. In other words, when we get into these situations where we want to act funky and go back into the flesh, we got the Spirit of God on the inside, and we're carrying him into that funkiness, that, excuse me, that funkiness that he died so we wouldn't have to be. In other words, the presence of God is with us, but he's not going to force us. He's not going to twist our arm and make us do right. He'll convict you of the things we're doing wrong, but we still have to make the choice to do right. And because he's in us and with us, we should be careful of how we behave, how we act, and what we allow to come into our spirits, because what we allow to come through our eye gate, our ear gate, into our spirit is a lot of times how we behave. And we allow those things to come in and supersede what God is trying to tell us. And so you have a lot of carnal-minded Christians. You have a lot of Christians who act carnal-minded because they have not allowed Christ to transform their lives and transform their minds and sanctify them so they won't have to continue in sin. Let's look at Romans 6:3. In Romans 6:3, and this is Paul telling, he says, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" And so what do you mean by that? What it means is once the Holy Spirit comes in and unites us with the body of Christ through the power of his spirit, what happens is we have been connected with Christ. And I'm going to slow down here. And so what God does is he no longer sees us on our own, but he sees us through the blood of Christ. And so because he sees us through the blood of Christ, he considers us to have been buried with Christ. He's considered us to have died with Christ. He considered us to have been buried with Christ, and he's considering us to have resurrected with Christ. So as soon as we confess with our mouth, as soon as we believe in our heart and we become saved, God no longer looks at us in our own righteousness, but he looks at us through the righteousness of Jesus. And so that's why we can say we were baptized and into Jesus. And so what happens is God considers us to have been crucified with Christ. He considers us to have been buried with Christ. He considers us to have been resurrected with Christ. All of this comes in because we simply confessed with our mouth and believed in our heart. And by grace, through faith, we have accepted him as Lord and Savior. And so now it's a game changer for us. This is a whole new thing for us. This is a whole new life for us. God is not looking at us as unrighteous anymore, even though from time to time we sin and we mess up. He's already accounted us as having died with Christ, having been buried with Christ, and having been resurrected with Christ and back into the right relationship with him. And so when we begin to start looking at what's happened is, now God is looking at us to start acting like we are one with Christ. So let's look at verse 4. It says, Romans 6, verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And this is what you know, this whole baptism thing is, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit later next week. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, what happens is it's like you are being baptized into Christ. In other words, you're looking like Christ now through the eyes of God, that now you're in Christ. In other words, he no longer is looking you as your unrighteousness on your own. He's looking at you through Christ. So we're baptized in Christ. So in other words, when God sees us, he sees us through the righteousness of Christ, which is, I said, is a game changer, because now we're back in that right relationship. Now he can look at us. Now he can look on us. Now he sees us in righteousness. And when he sees that, again, the power and the penalty no longer has effect on us. And so when we baptize people, which is the what we call initiatory rite, once you've been saved, once you confess with your mouth, once you believed in your heart, the initial rite is through water baptism. In other words, now you're putting on an outward confession or outward sign of what's already happened on the inside. And so when someone stands up in the pool they're standing up covered in Christ at the baptism pool. And what happens is when you're standing there, you're saying, I'm standing here like I'm on the cross being crucified with Christ. And when the minister puts you under the water, you're saying, I'm going down into the grave with Christ. And when the minister brings you up, you're saying, I'm being resurrected with Christ. And so God sees us as being dead, buried, and resurrected. And that's what our water baptism symbolizes. And this is what Paul is telling us is what's happening spiritually, is that we're being clothed by Christ. And so when Christ died, and this is what's so awesome, make me want to run around the room. So when Christ died, I died and we died also. And so when Christ was buried, I died and we died also. And so when Christ was resurrected, I died and we died also. In other words, because we're clothed in Christ, because we're taking on his righteousness, we are considered having died, having been buried, and having been resurrected. It's a game changer, saints. It's a game changer. And because of that, he now comes to live in us through the presence of his Holy Spirit. And so now we have Christ in us and with us throughout eternity. In other words, what was lost in the spirit that we lost in the Garden of Eden now has taken back up residence in us. And it's a game changer, and it's an awesome thing. The only caveat that we can see with this is that our bodies, our flesh, has been corrupted by this sin. In other words, we have been renewed spiritually, but our physical bodies have not been changed into an immortal body yet. And so that's what we have to deal with. Spiritually, we're fine. Spiritually, we're good. Spiritually, we're back in the right relationship with God. But that spirit that God is in us, we still live in this body that is corrupted by sin. And so we have to be changed day by day. We have to go through the sanctification day by day more and more to get our minds, our hearts, and our soul transformed or sanctified to receive our new body. There's going to come a time where when God comes back for the church, he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And that's not to say our physical flesh, because that's going to be a change. But he's coming back to make sure that our souls and our spirits have been transformed back into the image of God through this sanctification process. And so that's what our job is while we're here on earth, is to continue to allow ourselves to get transformed into his image, to allow ourselves to get renewed in the mind, so that once he comes back for us, we'll be right spiritually and right physically when he gives us this new body. And that's the tough, like I said, the caveat is, we have this righteousness in an earthen vessel that is fragile and prone to break or be broken down and be messed up. And that's why we walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And that's one of the most difficult things for Christians to do, is to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. But tonight what we want to learn is that it is crucial in order to do that, to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, is to realize that the Spirit of God is with us, present with us right now, with us, in us, and that we can do all things through Christ who is with us and in us and strengthens us. And so that's the thing that we have to learn to rely on more and more. Let's go back to the word. Let's go back in verse 5. In Romans 6, verse 5, it says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." In other words, we have obtained everything that Christ did when he died, when he was buried, when he was resurrected. All of those things, we didn't have to go through it, but God counts it to us once we believe, once we confess. By faith, he gives us all these things, and we didn't have to do anything but simply confess it with our mouth and believe with our heart. And that's what grace will do. Grace will give you something, a gift, like we talked about in Romans, the 5th chapter, that we really don't deserve. And that's enough to shout, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, because I don't think any of us would have been able to come up with this plan. I don't think any of us would have had enough love in our heart to be able to look past somebody's fault and see their need put a plan into action, which you died, who didn't have to die, and anybody that believed in that, you would restore them back to their right relationship with God. It's an awesome plan. It's an awesome thing. And I thank God for his plan. I thank God for what he's done in our lives to give us this free gift, and not only give us a free gift of salvation, but to also come through the power of his Spirit, restore us where our spirit was in the Garden of Eden, and take up his presence. All of us have a part of God inside of us once we believe and once we confess. And that's an awesome thing, that everybody has a part of God. You got your Holy Spirit is a part of God. My Holy Spirit is a part of God. And that binds us all as one through the power of his Spirit, which again, I say, is an awesome thing for us to be under that new covenant, which was purchased in his blood, that we simply have to say, God, I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart, and you said in your word, I shall be saved. The Holy Spirit comes in. I get a piece of God. I get back into the right relationship with God. He gives me the strength through the power of Christ to be able to, walk in a newness of life. And then once I'm walking in newness of life, what happens is now I have the ability to not be prompted by sin, but I can remain dead to sin, because I can get transformed and renewed in my mind, and I can walk in the Spirit, and I can resist the devil, and I can resist temptation, and I can live a life that's pleasing in the sight of God. But the way we do it is have to come through prayer. We have to study his word. We have to start applying what we hear through our pastors, our preachers, applying it to our lives. And all of this takes part in a sanctification process. And God is coming back for that sanctified church. He's coming back for that church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for people who have been transformed and renewed in their mind by the Spirit of God. And in that moment, he's going to give you a new body, and then we'll be truly back into the state that we lost back in the garden, with a resurrected body, with an immortal body. The mortal took on immortality, and the corruptible took on incorruption. And that's where we will ultimately be able to realize what we were created to be in our original state. And it's an awesome thing. But we have the Spirit of God that can help us right now. We can get a foretaste of how it's going to be. So every now and then, when that Spirit rises up in you and you don't have words to say, and you know if you want to shout or scream or run, just how good God is, that's that Spirit of God. That's the presence of God, great God from Zion, that's in your life, that's moving and letting you know that he's alive and that he's well, and that he loves you and that he wants the best for you. I'm going to get some folk on the line before I start preaching in a second here, but I just want to give folk a chance to respond to what we've talked about tonight. I'm going to go to 9016. Let me see if I can go to phone number 9016. Is that you, 9016? You on the line? 9016? All right, we're going to try another number. Let's try 7971. You on the line, 7971?
Yes, I am.
How you doing, 7971? This is Randall.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, Pastor.
Great. We just want to ask you what you think about this new life in Christ and the presence of God in your life, being with you all the time, blessing you all the time.
It's such a powerful feeling and reality in your spiritual walk. It makes you have a assurance that you're never alone, that you can trust him, that he's your everything. When I say everything, your life no longer is yours. It belongs to him. And you have to learn, and trust him. And you have to learn how to apply all of these things in your personal life that he has laid down in this word for us to go by. This is our Bible. It's our guideline to a pure, good Christian life.
Amen.
You can't describe it. You really cannot describe it. That's why you know that it's God. God has arranged and put this book in place to a point where
Amen.
You know it's Him.
Amen.
When those blessings come, when those miracles come, when the impossible comes in your life, He does it in a way that you can't describe it. I had a call this
Amen.
Evening from a young lady, and she said to me, she said, I'm beginning to believe what you keep telling me about God.
Mm-hmm.
She said, something happened today. I prayed for it. He gave it to me, and I can't describe it. I said, well, you got it.
You got it.
You got it.
Sister Randolph, we thank you. We're gonna ask some more folk what they think about it. But I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you. All right, we're gonna try 7462. You there, 7462? 7462, you there?
Yeah, I'm in the church. Hello?
It's 7462?
Gonna listen to the gospel.
Hello?
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
It was a while back, but you answered my question. This is Ira.
All right, how you doing?
I have some girlfriends here sitting and listening, and we're just enjoying the conversation. Thank you.
Okay, God bless.
God bless you.
Yeah. All right, let's try 7878. 7878, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Hello.
We're asking the question. Yes, we're asking the question tonight. How do you feel having Jesus with you all the time?
It's a great feeling. It's glad to know that you have someone that protects you, that goes before you, and protects you at all times from hurt, harm, and danger. Those things that you can see, the things that you can't see, and it's a great feeling to have a spirit in you that
Amen.
Keeps you going. It's a day to day thing, you know, because tomorrow's
Amen.
Not promised, so you can only live in today. And so the Holy Spirit and the Lord gives you what you need for today. If the Lord allow you to see another day, then He gives you something more. And every day is a blessing.
Amen. Well, we thank you for your comments. We'll talk to you soon. We're going to go back to 6789. You there, 6789? Hello, 6789. You there, online? 6789. We don't have 6 now. We're gonna go to 6326. Hello, 6326. Hey,
evening,
how you doing?
Fine, how
good
are
evening.
You?
Good evening. We're doing well. We're asking the question: how do you feel now that you know that Christ is with you, in you, all the time?
Well, Pastor, I feel really good knowing that Christ is with me all the time. I just recently went through some things, but you know the word tells me to encourage myself and to speak those
Amen.
Things over myself, and I have learned to do that this week, and I'll tell you, the peace of the Lord has been with me. I have not cried.
Amen.
I cried maybe once or twice, but it has not been an ongoing thing where I've waddled in that pity and stayed down there. I'm high above the clouds. And it's
Amen.
Good to know that I can encourage myself.
Amen. Well, we thank you for that comment. We're going to get some more folk on the line. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
We're going to go with 1741. 1741, you there?
Yes, Pastor K-san. How you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderfully blessed. Thank you.
Amen. We're asking everyone the question, this exciting question. Now that you understand, now that you realize that Jesus is with you all the time through the presence of His Spirit, how does it make you feel?
It's such a wonderful feeling to know, especially when you have a personal relationship with him. And the closer you walk with him, the more you get to know him. And it's so wonderful to know that someone accepts you for what you are, love you for what you are. You can be yourself. And each person is unique. God created each human being unique in his image and the way he wanted them to be. And so when you know who you are in Christ, you can just be yourself. And so God loves you. You're worth something. You're worth something. And so because he paid a tremendous price for you, and when you come to know how much he loves you, then you begin to love yourself.
Amen.
That's powerful.
Well, we thank you for your comments tonight. We're going to move on to someone else, see if we can get another comment. Thank you. We're going to go to 212122. Let's see if we got 2122. 2122, you on the air? Hello? 2122? I think they just want to listen. We're going to move on to 7462. We get 7462. Is this 7462?
Yes, it is.
How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. I am wonderfully blessed. And I missed the question, but I heard it since then. And I'll tell you, to know that Christ lives in me.
Yeah.
That there's not a feeling in the word in the world that can describe the feeling of knowing that Christ lives in me. There's the assurance that I have to know that I am sealed, that I'm going to live with him forever. You know, I am validated. I don't need to go around the earth looking for anything or anybody to validate who I am.
Amen.
And I got so much love going on.
Amen. It's the ultimate love.
A wonderful thing for me to know that God got me.
He sure does.
Plain and simple, he got me. You know, I don't have to fear anything or anybody. You know, it's like not having a worry in the world. If my trust in him is truly. I truly trust in him. I don't have a worry. Well, you know, I'm not supposed to anyway. We're not supposed to have a worry in the
world. That's right. That's right.
And that's
the presence and the power of God in our lives. Well, we thank you for your comment. We thank everyone for their comment. We got a couple more verses that we're going to go through tonight. But I just want everyone to realize, and everyone had awesome statements. And I think it just kind of, you know, running through our minds is that at all times, God with us. And a lot of times when we say that word, you know, when we talk the word and say that God will never leave us nor forsake us, I don't think sometimes we realize that we actually have God in us. The presence of his spirit is in us. His presence is in us. In other words, when God... Jesus died, he said, I'm going to pray the Father that he would send you another comforter, that he won't leave you comfortless, and that's the Holy Spirit. And when that Holy Spirit came in, what happened is he took up his abode with us. And if we look quickly at John 14, verse 15 and 16, John, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter in verses 15 and 16 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And verse 16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And this is the promise of God through his son, Jesus Christ, that he's going to give us a comforter that's going to abide with us forever, that will never leave us. And this is the part of the Spirit of God that was lost in the Garden of Eden, but through our faith, through our belief in God's plan of salvation, that has been restored back to us. And he said, we'll never lose it again. And so I heard a couple of people say that, you know, they didn't know, you know, that how God, how good God's love, and that God's love allowed me to know that I'm loved, or I didn't have to get validated, or God gave me a peace. This is what's keeping us. This is what's keeping us alive. This is what's keeping us together when all, you know, the world is falling apart, when situations are look dire, and, you know, when our surrounding circumstances may be bad. But what keeps us together is the Spirit of God that he promised to us. When we believe, when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, and that Spirit came in, what happens is now he's there to keep us in the midst of every storm, in the midst of every trial, in the midst of every circumstance, in the midst of every test that we go through. He's there to give us the strength to go through it. And so in verse 17 of John 14, the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, in verse 17, he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. That's why some people don't know why, good God Almighty, you're still smiling, you're still praising, you're still worshiping, you still have a great attitude, you still have the great character, even though things might not be going your way. It's because the world doesn't know him. The world, they don't know the truth. They cannot receive him because they see him not, in verse 17, neither know him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This is the awesome thing about Christianity. This is what I tell people about. You can believe all those faiths if you want to. You can believe all those man's rituals and rudiments and traditions. But when you talk about Christianity, you're talking about Christ being in you, with us, being alive in us. We have the Spirit of the living God inside of us. I don't know, there's no other faith where the Spirit of the living God is in you, where you have a peace of the living God in you. In other words, the peace of God, the Spirit of God that allows us to communicate and commune with him. No, we're not. I'm not trying to say that. We're not God. But we have the Spirit of God on the inside that allows us to have this connection with the only true and living God. In other words, he came in to us so we can always have a connection with him. He gave us a part of his Spirit. So now that is our connection. That's like our transistor radio, if you will, that we have a connection with God. And through that connection, we're connected spiritually with him through the body of Christ. And this is what separates us from any other religion, any other tradition, is that God is in us. He's with us. He's dwelling with us. This is the game changer, saints. This is the game changers. We have become alive in God. We're being transformed into his image, back into the right relationship that we had in the Garden of Eden, because the God that we serve loved us so much that he wanted that relationship with us. God desires to have that relationship with us. In other words, just like you enjoy being around some people and fellowshipping with people in church, God loves to fellowship with us. He loves to hear your voice. He loves to hear you call on his name. He loves to hear you pray and praise him. He loves to have that communion with you. He loves to know that you want to talk to him, that you want to have a relationship with him. That's a loving God, and nobody understands it but God and you, when you have that connection. And like one of our callers was saying, they were witnessing to a person. They said, now I understand about this relationship that we have, that you have with God. And when you begin to start by faith talking to him and praying to him and turning to him and trusting him, it begins to get sweeter and sweeter. And in verse 18 of John 14, it says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And this is the game changer, that we have the presence of God in us all the time. And so if we go back to Romans, that sixth chapter, that's why Paul is saying in Romans 6, and we're just about out of time, but we just want to look at this one verse in Romans, the sixth chapter, verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might not, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In other words, because God, what he's done and he's in us, the power and the penalty of sin that used to rule over us and hold us is no longer there. So we have the ability to be able to start walking in the newness of life, to be able to start walking in the Spirit, to be able to start walking in the righteousness of God, to be able to start putting off the old things and putting on the new things, so the Word becomes alive in us and we become the Word alive. In other words, we become the Word of God. We become the Spirit of God alive. We become looking and talking and acting like the Word so that we can be a witness to those that don't know him. When people see you, they should be able to see the God in you coming out through our actions, the way we talk, the way we carry ourselves, the way we dress, the way we conduct ourselves. The Bible says we are peculiar people, and we should act in the peculiarness of Christ. And in other words, people should be able to say, wow, this went on in the supermarket, and they acted like God. This went on in the schoolhouse, and they acted like God. This went on the beltway, and they didn't cuss anybody out or start shooting anybody, but they acted like Jesus, and they had patience. Or in your family where, you know, your husband and your wife, when they're off the chain, you don't go off the chain with them, but you act like Christ because you become the Word alive, because you've yielded your members to the Word of God, and now the Spirit of God has come alive in you, and now you can behave like Christ, and people should be able to see that. Someone should be able to see just by your demeanor that you are a child of God. You don't have to flap your mouth or flap your jaw. You don't have to carry a 2-ton Bible. You don't have to have a 4-foot cross hanging around your neck. You don't have to have 1,000 bumper stickers on your car. Lord have mercy. But you just have to have the Word alive, the Spirit of God alive on the inside, showing up on the outside, and somebody will know that you are not of this world, that you have been transformed, and that you are a child of God. And that comes through prayer, constant communication with God, studying the Word, getting into Bible study, getting into the Word on Sunday, worshiping him on the days that we set aside to worship him on Sunday, getting away from, I call it bedside Baptist, but coming out and experiencing the presence of God. God has created us to worship him. And he's created us to give him glory. And so we need to give him his due. So when it comes time for us to be in that place, for us to receive our blessing, that's where we need to be. And now I'm going to begin to start pouring out my blessing upon them. And as we experience that, then we begin to start being more and more like him and begin to start being lights that shine in darkness. And when we become those witnesses that shine in a world of darkness, what happens is more and more people can come to know him as Lord and Savior of our lives. And that's what his great commission, his great command is us, for us to go and to be the salt of the earth, to go and to be lights that shine in darkness, so that somebody, Lord have mercy, will come to know him as Lord and Savior of their lives, and be able to say, thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your mercy. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And understand, amen, that it's simply by grace through faith and through that medium that God has provided that all of us can be returned back into that right relationship with God. It's an awesome blessing. It's a game changer. And I'm just glad tonight that the Spirit has brought that no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, that God is omnipresent with you. He understands and he knows and he can comfort you anywhere and anytime. And that's just an awesome God that we serve. Oh, man, it's getting gooder and gooder, but that's going to do it for tonight. We thank everyone for listening. We're just going to have a word of prayer. Then we'll let you go on spending some time with the Lord. So let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you again for how your spirit has come in and taught us tonight, God. God, we just thank you for everyone that's on the line tonight. Father, we thank you for your spirit that moves from heart to heart and breast to breast. God, we thank you for your plan of salvation that covers us in the righteousness of Christ. And, oh, God, we thank you that now that we've been baptized into him, God, that we are considered dead with him. We're considered buried with him. And, God, we thank you that we are considered resurrected with him. God, we thank you for this unmerited favor. We thank you for this grace that we've received by faith. And, Father, we just pray, God, that you would just continue to grow stronger and stronger in our life. God, we pray that you would help us through the sanctification process as we renew our minds, God. God, we just pray, God, that your spirit would just continue to guide us in every area and every aspect of our lives. Father, we pray continued blessing on Pastor Gregory and First Lady Gregory. God, we pray for the New Birth Church and Heart of God Church together. God, we just thank you for this time of study that we have on Thursday night. God, we just pray, God, that you would just continue to guide us by your spirit, God, that your people would be edified and that you would be glorified, God, because truly, God, you're worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun, God, to the going down of the same, your name is worthy to be praised. Father, we pray if there's any sick among us, if there's anyone that's standing in need of a blessing, God, we ask you to touch, heal, and deliver in the name of Jesus. God, we just ask that you would be everything to them that they need, God, through the power of your spirit, God. God, help them to believe in faith past their circumstances, God. Help them to walk in faith and not by sight. God, we just pray, God, as they continue to walk in this way, God, that you would show yourself mighty in all of their lives, God. God, that you would let them know without a shadow of a doubt that you're true to your word and true to your promises. God, that you said you would never leave them nor forsake them, God. God, we just thank you, God, that when we look back over our lives, you may not have come when we wanted you to, but God, you truly have been right on time. And God, we just say thank you for that tonight, God. God, we continue to lift you up. We continue to praise you and magnify your name, God. God, we just say until we come together again that you receive all honor, glory, and praise that you so richly deserve. And we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And we just say amen and good night and have a wonderful weekend in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everyone.